beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Two days and counting, everyone, looking forward to the burgundy and gold taking on the blue and silver. Washington and Dallas head-to-head in one of the biggest rivalries in pro football. 4:30 FedEx Field, Sunday afternoon. Be there or be square. Yes, I said it. We are talking about the Dallas-Washington rivalry. Where does it come from? My question, how can you be from the D.C. Metro and like the Cowboys? I just don't understand it. We're going to break it all down tonight. My guests are Darren Snyder, Washington Times columnist. He is a Dallas Cowboys fan. Don't get it. Don't understand it. He's going to have to explain it. Also, Monica McNutt. She's a sports reporter. She is a Washington fan. I love her already. She's a home girl. Look at Darren. He is just looking at me, giving me the side eye. Boy, I tell you. So, look, I want to hear from you tonight. Lines are open. Cowboys or Washington, who's your team and why? What are the chances that we're going to come out on top? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Darren and Monica, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having
us, Harold. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so why, Darren?
Well, first of all, you know, as a journalist, I'm not really a fan. I'm talking about my childhood allegiance, the teams that I followed when I was growing up before I entered the profession. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I grew up in New York, Brooklyn, New York, and I liked the Giants and the Cowboys, which is another story. And, you know, those were the teams I followed growing up. Now, I will admit that as someone who covers the Washington football team, my job is more enjoyable when they have a winning record than a losing record.
Why is that?
Well, it's more fun to write about a winner than it is to write about a loser.
Mm-hmm.
So I root for them in that sense, but that's purely selfish. However, when they don't win, it doesn't bother me at all
it doesn't bother you at all.
It doesn't bother me at all to talk about them and to rub it in. You know, my wife's a fan of that team, so I needle her all the time. And anyone else who I feel has that affliction of being, you know, following that team.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Monica, you're in here. You're wearing white and gray, but I guess Washington fans look good in every color.
She got
color.
Those cowboy colors.
Listen,
on now that I'm looking
so
at it.
It's so funny that the wardrobe came up today, right? Because literally, I have this fantastic shade of gray, sort of mixed blue nail polish that I almost put on this week.
Mm-hmm.
But Sunday evening when I was painting my nails, I was like, wait a minute, it's Dallas week. Let it never be misconstrued. One time I had on this shade of teal, and my homeboy was like, oh, you an Eagles fan? I was like, oh, no! To make sure there is no confusion. So this just happens to be, you know, denim. We'll go with denim. If y'all want to be synonymous with denim, then fine, I'll give it to you. That was cute, Darren. Mm-hmm. I get that. Childhood allegiances. And you're right. As a journalist, it is first on us to cover. However, having grown up in this area, and honestly, for me, I had to truly stake my claim and identify my team when I stepped into journalism. Not that I get to wear the fan hat when I'm covering the team, but yeah, I agree with you, Harold. It doesn't make much sense to be a Washingtonian that roots for a team out of Dallas.
Talk to me about this rivalry. Why is this such a huge one, Darren?
Well, I mean, when I was growing up, I always thought it was natural because, you know, the whole Cowboys and right.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
And then we look at it, just in terms of the teams that have done well. When I was a boy growing up, the Giants were very sorry. They hadn't won anything my whole life. The Eagles weren't doing anything. So pretty much these were the two teams that you can count on to make the noise in the division. So, they had some real knockdown, drag out fights, and, they both have enjoyed measures of success. Both of them, it's been a while, but they do have that on their resume. Some teams don't have that on their resume at all. So, yeah, it's definitely one of those that are up there.
Your thoughts about the rivalry, Mom?
So this week, John Feinstein did his minute where he pontificates about something.
And John
in
Feinstein
the world of sports.
Is?
John Feinstein is a renowned sports writer, sports reporter, covered the Hoyas a lot back in the day under Coach Thompson. And he pointed out that this rivalry matters far more to us in this area than the national audience one and then for those in Dallas.
So it's our issue.
I'm not ready to say that, Harold. Mm-hmm. I've always found myself on the side of rivalries where it's my issue for whatever reason. I do know, because I actually looked this up because I was curious, that when Dallas was becoming America's team, the coaching staff in the organization at the time sort of took that personally, and that's when we had some of the glory days of this particular rivalry. Is that fair to say?
Sure, yeah. Sure. And by the way, Dallas didn't name themselves that. That was a name that NFL Films gave Dallas.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Now that you think about it, just from a fan's perspective, if you're talking about the nation's capital, which is the, you know, you're talking,
it would seem.
Yeah, this is the capital of the United States. And then Dallas, Texas has America's team.
Mm-hmm.
That does, it's too much like not right.
That had a lot to do with the players on the team at that time, though. And you're right. They were the guys that sort of geared well to what NFL Films was doing at the time. Lots of jazz.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, don't even get me started on...
Oh, Lord.
Don't get me started on the history of this franchise, which was, by the way, the last franchise to integrate.
This is true.
And don't get me started on the name, which, you know, is controversial. Mm-hmm. So I'll just leave that right there.
Yeah, well, and certainly, you know, I'm sure that it remains a topic of controversy, consternation for a lot of people. But just from the game perspective, right now we have Washington at 3-2, Dallas at 3-3. They're essentially neck and neck.
Sort of. And I think the home team has an opportunity to clinch first place in that division. For me, having been at the game last week and seeing that performance, the thing we got with Washington is always its ability to be consistent. And I think the injuries going into tomorrow are going to be problematic. Jameson Crowder already ruled out. Adrian Peterson has been questionable. He'll probably play, but I don't know that they'll have their full complement of offensive weapons. You combine that with the fact that Alex Smith is still relatively new to this system. But I also know that from my playing experience, from being a sports consumer, something about rivalries, it can look one way on paper, but something about rivalries, you find it in yourself to, you know, strap up. Let's go.
Mm-hmm. So they won last week, right? The home team won last week. So that means that it's time.
You know, Darren, I was joking about that.
You know, I mean, that's just a pattern is evolving here. You know, up and down, up and down, up and down.
Let's see what our listeners have to say about this. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the burgundy and gold, the silver and the blue, the biggest rivalry, arguably, in the NFL. What do you think? Let's talk to Reggie. Reggie, thanks for calling from Richmond. What's on your mind?
Well, good evening to the panel. The burgundy and gold, because I don't use the R word, training camp is here in Richmond, Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, we didn't get the economic windfall that we were told. Number two, Gil Brandt was the personnel director of the Dallas Cowboys. He was instrumental in getting a lot of HBCU players to play for the Cowboys, especially Virginia Union and also Florida A&M.
That's right. There are two of them with the Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
At least
HBCU
players that play.
And we know about how the Bird and Go did Bobby Mitchell. He should have been the general manager years ago, but that's a whole other story.
Hmm. Okay, I'm assuming you're... Are you
Dallas
not?
Fan?
Are you a Dallas fan? Is that why?
I don't have a dog in the fight, but I just have a historical point of view. And also, Dallas, we originally had the fight song of the Burgundy and Gold when they held over their head. And for them to have the territory, they said, we'll give you the song, but you got to give us the territory.
Wow.
That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. The politics of football. Mm. Thank you so much, Reggie. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. George, calling from Virginia. Who's your team, George?
I'm a Cowboy fan, diehard Cowboy fan since the 1970s.
Why is that?
Well, I'm not from D.C. I live here now. I work here, but I'm from Southeast Virginia, Newport News. So I never really attached myself to the Redskins down there. And I just grew it to like the Cowboys back in the 70s.
Okay. All right. Well, you'll be crying in your milk tomorrow. I mean, on Sunday. Thank you, George. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. John, calling from Clinton. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, well, I wanted to say that this all started with George Allen back in the day for me. You know, when he, I mean, he always had a problem with the Cowboys being America's team. And I guess it was all the glitz and the glam that they were always getting that George Allen always had a problem with. So he got, you know, his team together and start making all kind of jokes about that. And I believe with the George Allen years, I believe he made it much more of a rivalry that probably lingers on to this day more than anybody else that ever coached the Redskins.
Okay. All right. So what's your team?
I'm a Cowboy fan.
Oh, of course. Yeah, there we go. All right.
I got a lot of Cowboys fans. Yeah,
and that's the thing I just really don't understand. My best friend since high school, he's a Cowboys fan. Mm-hmm. He was born in New York, raised in Georgia, mm-hmm. but his education, his life education, mm-hmm. was here in the DMV. Well, Butch, I love you. You're
like,
crazy.
Like the first caller said, there's a lot of reasons to question whether you should be a fan of this Washington franchise, particularly if you want to, you know, be, you know, conscious and woke and, you know, knowing the history and all. Mm-hmm. I mean, you should really question yourselves. Are you really down with the struggle if you're going to support a team with the history that this team has? I'm just saying.
Yeah, you know. I mean, and I think you have a legitimate point there.
You absolutely have a legitimate point, but I would question if you fully define yourself as woke or whatever. I mean, I think that I'm a pretty conscious young woman in terms of what's happening in the United States. Is this really the hill that you're going to die on? Is that the one?
No.
I mean, I feel you on that, Darren. I do. I understand that. My parents are of that thought process. I personally think that change will come to the organization. But that's
right.
My own team.
Yeah, it's not. But I'm just saying, if it's a toss up, that could be a deciding factor.
Mm. You know, fair.
The team that talks about, you know, Dixie and all of that. But anyway,
and let me say, as a sidebar, I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention that the reason that Rihanna will not be performing during the Super Bowl is for the same woke reason. She turned them down because she does not approve of the way that Colin Kaepernick is being treated by the NFL. And, you know, I don't know a number, but I can only imagine that she would not be doing it for free. And all of the money that she could have made, she had decided to, be woke instead of worry about a payday. So, you know, hey.
I also think that Rihanna is not hurting for any type of coin.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you can always have an extra couple of quarters, as my mom would say.
It is a point of conversation for sure. Whether you talk about this team specifically, other teams in the league, other teams in sports with names that are questionable here in 2018, the NFL as a whole, I do think that there is power in consumers making a decision to participate or not to participate. And if Rihanna feels strongly about that, kudos to her. I definitely have plenty of respect for what Colin Kaepernick has done.
We're going to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Tanya, calling from Maryland, Joe, calling from D.C., Tony, calling from D.C. Lines are still open if you can't get through. I promise we will still take your call if you keep trying at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, Washington and Dallas Battle Royale coming up on Sunday. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are talking about the Dallas-Washington rivalry. They're going head-to-head, FedEx Field, 4:30, Sunday afternoon. It's going to be on CBS. That's the CBS theme for the NFL right now. And we are talking about this incredible rivalry in the NFL and why so many Washingtonians are Cowboys fans. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tanya from Maryland. What's wrong with you, Tanya? What's going on with you? Why are you a Cowboys fan? Talk to me. Tanya, are you there? See, there you go. That explains it. Let's go to Joe. Joe calling from D.C. What's on your mind, Joe?
Hey, Harold, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
This rivalry thing the heyday of this rivalry has long been dead. The only reason it keeps coming up because you guys in the media need something to talk about when this game comes around.
You haven't met my best friend, Butch, but anyway, go ahead.
The only people who keep this thing up are older Washingtonian Redskins football fans and the media. The younger generation of football lovers don't care about this rivalry. And it's not in the top five rivalries in the NFL.
Okay, let me ask you this, Joe. Who is your team?
I'm a native Washingtonian. I love the Washington football team.
Mm-hmm.
But this Redskins Dallas thing has long been dead. Let it go.
So what do you think are the biggest rivalries? I know the Steelers-Ravens, when you talk about local rivalries, that certainly is a really, really big one. I don't understand that either. But what is the biggest rivalry as far as you're concerned, Joe?
I could say Oakland and Kansas City as growing up, like I said.
Oakland and Kansas City. I lived in Kansas City. We never talked about that.
Yeah, that's a long.
You talk about old.
Yeah.
That's okay. Well, you know, enjoy the game on Sunday though. Okay, help me with this, because other than Washington and Dallas, like I said, I lived in Kansas City. I worked news in Kansas City. When I don't seem to remember any of that. Unless he was talking about Kansas City and the Oakland A's, but that's baseball. So
I didn't read John Feinstein's column, but it's possible that just from what you said about it, there is a grain of truth in it that nationally this rivalry doesn't register the way it did back when Gibbs was coaching, back mm-hmm. when Landry was coaching. That's probably true. You know, being here inside the Beltway is still a big deal here.
Yeah.
I would imagine that. The numbers outside, the interest is not quite what it was to that level. And, the Cowboys, just being as popular as they are, they're going to be an attractive team to a lot of people, period. So, and they play the Washington team twice a year. It's still the history of it, I think, still resonates for a lot of people, at least here.
Mm. Okay. Let me go to Tony. Tony calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Tony. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Sure.
So I'm a native Washingtonian, and I am a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan. Proud of it.
Why?
I grew up in a household with three older brothers and my parents, all Redskins fans. And, of course, being the youngest of the brothers, you get picked on. I figured out how to irritate them when I was in the 70s.
So you're saying
for the team with the star on the helmet
and I am so glad it was the best decision I made ever.
Good choice.
No turning back.
You know,
it's really the best decision you've made.
Good choice, my brother.
Well, you know, family counseling is always available after the game, Tony. So thank you so much. I'm Hassan calling from Springfield, Virginia. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thank you for having me, man.
Sure.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I can see why so many, like Tony said earlier, native Washingtonians would not be Redskins fans and would lean towards more being a Cowboys fan. You know, it's very historic, like you guys have mentioned. And you gotta stand for something or else you fall for anything.
Hmm. Okay. We'll see.
So I can see why, you know, a lot of people are D.C. fans, especially with the integration. And, you know, if you were just a fan of whatever you lived around, that wouldn't be too fun. You know, you got to have your morals.
Really?
So I'm curious, what are your other teams?
Well, see, it's funny that you mentioned that, but...
I'm going to interrupt you, forgive me. But if you say Duke, the Yankees, and the Golden State Warriors, then I don't know how serious I can take this conversation.
Well, this is really funny now because I am a native North Carolinian. I just moved here, and I am a Duke fan, Durham native, Bull City throw it up. And I was a Kevin Durant fan since the Seattle days. So I am a Warriors fan nowadays because I follow Kevin.
So help us. Why can't you take him seriously with those
Well,
teams?
I mean, because then you're just kind of being the front runner fan, right? You go with the teams that typically are in the conversation of winning, which means you may or may not be a bandwagoner. But if you are truly from North Carolina, I will give you that.
Yeah,
I don't know about a KD
statement. I was with Duke when everybody else, or still is, a Tar Heel fan. And, you know, I caught a lot of slack for that and, flack for that matter. And also with Kevin, back in OKC days, he wasn't, having the best of times either. So, you know, now that he's winning, everybody gets mad at me, but I mean, he made a smart decision.
Are you a Golden State Warrior fan or a Kevin Durant fan? Because the NBA has done an incredible job of branding its athletes. So we hear a lot of people who are player fans, not so much team fans.
Yeah, I am a Kevin fan. You know, I'm also into like the whole sneaker thing, so I follow Kevin for quite some years now, since like 2010. So if he jumped ship and went to Sacramento, wherever he went, I would still be the fan of that team.
I say okay. he might go to the Knicks.
Exactly, we're gonna see about
going
that.
To the Knicks.
Well, Hassan, thank you so much. I want to talk about this fan thing for just a bit, because I would argue that I do have a rather unique perspective on. I support home teams. Okay.
Good man.
I like home teams. I'm originally from DC, so yes. I like the burgundy and gold. I live in Baltimore, so I support the Ravens. Last Sunday was golden for me because even though I'm not a huge sports fan, guess what? I watched the Ravens in the early afternoon. I watched Washington in the evening. I was good. I sat in front of the TV, got some stuff done. But when I was in Tallahassee, I liked Florida State. When I worked in Huntsville, I liked Alabama and Auburn because, you know.
Whoa. How are you going right. to woo him considering you're
no, a hold on. They in the same state. Come on.
You Alabama and Auburn? University of Alabama?
That's the same state.
Who am I going to like? The Huntsville Stars AAA baseball team?
You have to pick one.
Okay, well, all right. You know, Alabama, but, you know, I don't watch them now.
Front runner.
Listen, after the first 5 minutes when Alabama takes the field and the score is like 50-12, I just don't even bother because I got better things to do than to watch them just run over somebody. Look, when I was in Buffalo, I liked the Bills. When I was in Kansas City, I liked the Chiefs. And so
Here's the thing, Harold. I appreciate that, but I think for you, it becomes defining. Like you like them because they're the local thing to do,
right?
You didn't carry this allegiance with you.
No, well, I still watch them now.
Okay,
I do watch them now. What's the guy's name? Kansas Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
I like him. Go ahead.
I like him too.
When Alabama plays, yes, I do watch just to see how badly they're going to beat up, and I do care about Auburn as well because they are home teams. Florida State, how about them Seminoles? Yes, I did watch. But it's all, for me, it's kind of peripheral. But again, if you're here, I'm still not getting any clarity from my Washingtonians, why they just have this distaste for the team. Let me ask Anthony. Anthony, calling from Northeast. Anthony, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good evening, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I am a Redskins fan.
Okay.
I was raised a Redskins fan. I was raised of hating those cowgirls.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why. They're overpaid, self-centered, think they're all that. But when the Redskins beat them in NFC Championship, I was so happy seeing them getting beaten and getting knocked out. So the Redskins won their first Super Bowl. The thing about these Cowboys fans, you don't hear from them when they start losing. They're just like black conservatives. They stay in the closet. You hear from them. When they lose, they stay in the closet until next year.
Wow.
Now, that's a fair weather team, okay?
Hmm. Well, Anthony, thank you so much.
Good night.
Interesting
analogy.
Thank
you, my brother.
I do want to talk a little bit about what we're dealing with here. We've got Alex Smith now, but we also have Adrian Peterson for Washington. But for the Cowboys, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, let's just talk about, quarterback, running back. Dak, Prescott, he exploded, on the scene. What was it, last year, year before, doing exceptionally well. Ezekiel Elliott, he's a magnificent runner. Alex Smith, fantastic quarterback. I'm concerned about Adrian Peterson. Let's just say it, he's not a spring chicken, and he's a little beat up right now. How is that going to work? I mean, honestly, when they were talking, what, shoulder last week?
Dislocated shoulder.
Okay. I'm not a pro athlete, nowhere near that, but I do remember when I dislocated my shoulder. Okay.
Not fun.
I remember a game Emmitt Smith had against the Giants. I think he was playing with a broken shoulder. He ran for like 200 yards or something.
Yeah, because he was running away from somebody who was trying to.
He couldn't even move his arm. But
the pain tolerance of these guys
is that what they call
incredible.
It now? Pain tolerance in an injection.
We're going to go with pain tolerance.
Okay, yeah. So
and a little help from
right. That's my point. Yeah, a little at the end of a needle. But
that's a fair concern, though, Harold, for sure. But I think, and even Adrian Peterson, when he arrived, sort of dispelled some of the narrative about his age. And if you look at his production with the team and the games that they've won, and he's had better than 90 yards, close to 100-yard games, he's shown that he can still be very productive. As far as lightening the load for him and sort of protecting that injury, well, then we start talking about the line and the offense and just kind of running him into the ground, which is something that falls in Jay Gruden's lap in terms of the game plan.
Mm-hmm. Alex Smith needs a running game because he's not going to just pick the team up on his back and carry them with his passing. So a strong running game and a strong defense, that's the recipe for the Washington team to win. And I think Adrian Peterson is really remarkable the way he's rebounded from his last 2 years, actually. And he's definitely defying the odds and proving to be an exceptional athlete at 33 to be doing what he's doing. And the only question is, can he keep it up? Can he stay healthy? Can they manage his time so that he doesn't end up getting run into the ground?
And that is, that is my concern because, 33 is old for a pro football player, particularly a running back. What's even the best of the best? The average is what, 7 years?
Four.
Something like that. I mean, to take that kind of battery, not to mention Peterson has always had knee problems. Is that correct?
He's had some knee. Yeah, but he's a phenomenal human being physically in terms of just his specimen.
Sure.
That's the term. I don't know if I should use that term. But
yeah, I mean, think it's safe.
It's okay. That's PC.
I also would be curious. We heard LeBron say it last year that he spends close to, if not over, $1 million on his body. I would
LeBron
be very
does.
Curious. Yeah, in terms of hydrotherapy, this therapy, that therapy. I would be curious to see what Adrian Peterson's health regimen includes.
Absolutely. What are they feeding them? That's Man. What I want to see. How about that? Yeah. We'll be back in just a bit. We're going to talk to Black, calling from Southeast D.C. Don't hang up, Black. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment.
Sirius XM Channel 141.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our discussion about Washington and Dallas Battle Royale coming up this Sunday, FedEx Field, 4:30. Big rivalry, no matter who your team happens to be. Want to know what you think? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Black, calling from Southeast. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
What's up, man? It's Black. I'm from Northeast, too, now Southeast.
Oh, my fault. Go ahead.
It's all good. It's all good. Been a road finest. But real quick, everybody always talking about, I don't like the Redskins because they was the last team to integrate. That was three owners ago and over 80 years ago. And then they say that Doug Williams, they didn't do him right. Well, Doug Williams back went out and he never played football again for another team. So to me, they're just looking for a reason to say they don't like the Redskins. Now, let me ask you this. Last year, the owner dared all the Redskins, all the Cowboys to take a knee. He said if they take a knee, they will get cut, right? No Cowboy fan talk about that. This is what's going on right now in 2018, but they want to bring up something that went on in 1937 as to why they don't like the Redskins. Come on, man.
Thoughts?
Very good point. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the whole NFL is really threatening guys. And, you know, I'm disappointed that, well, first of all, I don't think anyone should do what they don't feel led to do. And I did kind of wish that at least one of them would say, but it has
That's
to be someone. It has to be someone on a level of like Dak or Zeke. It's got to be like a star.
Completely
to
safe.
Actually. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I can't say nothing about them not bucking against Jerry. That was sad, but, you know, what can I say?
Right, right. So I know you can't. So my whole thing is that, man, y'all need to let it go, man, because if y'all got a reason that y'all don't like my Washington Redskins, just say I don't like them. Mm-hmm. I need attention. So I grew up in D.C., but if I'm a Cowboy fan, I get more attention that way.
There you go.
Because y'all go all the way back to that, oh, they the last team to integrate. And I'm going to take you back 10 months and say your owner was the only owner that do not take a knee. He was the first one to say it, and nobody on his team did that.
Yeah.
Our owner said that I can't put myself in their shoes because I ain't in their situation. Mm-hmm. So come on, man. Come on.
Benning Rose Finest.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Call, Black.
There you go, Black. Thank you so much. Which... And we do need to remember also that this week is the 50th anniversary of Tommy Smith and John Carlos raising black glove fists during the medal presentation in 1968, Mexico City. It's the same thing. We are there. We have not moved. NFL players are kneeling. Smith and Carlos, they stood, they raised their fists, they had their sweat tops unzipped, which violated Olympic protocol, and so their protest was silent but poignant. You know, are we seeing more of that, or is it kind of spotty this year?
Well, I think the whole taking a knee thing is kind of moved on. There's still a few players doing it. Eric Reed is still doing it. He was doing it with Colin Kaepernick. There's a player on the Miami Dolphins who's doing it. But I don't think that we should focus on who's doing it and who's not doing it. I think in the moment that was cool. But in terms of the whole protests of athletes and whatnot, I think the whole thing has been a continuum going all the way back to Jesse Owens in the Olympics and all the way through Tommy and Carlos, John, until today. You know, it's everybody's not built to take a stand like Kaepernick. So it's not right to say, like, all you guys should do this or all you guys should do that. Everybody's not built to speak on the issues that are pertinent, i.e. Kanye West. So everybody doesn't need to be trying to speak if you're uninformed on the issues, okay? So the athletes who are speaking up, Etan Thomas locally, he's a great example of someone who spoke during his career. He's still doing it now. Eric Reed is a great example. Malcolm Jennings with the Eagles. So
Jenkins,
my fault. So we have examples of athletes who are doing that. Yeah. And the ones who aren't, a lot of times they're doing stuff that we never hear of, which is fine, too.
And I think that's such an important point to make, Darren, because just because you're giving a platform doesn't mean that you have the wherewithal to use it in an effective way. What we saw Colin Kaepernick do was fantastic. But Colin Kaepernick, to my knowledge, is a single man that doesn't have children. Right. And so if this is your livelihood, it is predicated on this. You may be down to your soul's black off or black causes, but you need your paycheck just like anybody else. And so I think while we can celebrate the Colin Kaepernicks, the Eric Reeds, and the Malcolm Jenkins who take a stand vocally and make no bones about it, it also is something that we have to look in the mirror as well and ask yourself, like, what would you do if you were in that particular position? So I don't think that it's fair to automatically assume because you share the same skin complexion or hue or check the same box on a census that you are automatically expected to take a knee or to take whatever stand someone wants.
And I would also, to that point, argue that, you know, one of the callers said they're overpaid. You know, every year they've been overpaid. Historically, professional athletes have been quote unquote overpaid. You know, when, you know, back in, even in the 70s when you had players that were all of a sudden, you know, making, you know, six figures or what have you, they were considered to be overpaid. But I think the reality is when we were talking about before the break is the wear and tear and damage that, is being done to their bodies in doing this. And it's not just football. You can say, you know, basketball. You could say baseball. If it weren't for Tiger Woods, you could say golf. Or you can't say golf because he hurt his back was an issue. But you don't see anybody running over folks at the golf course. But that's another conversation.
Well,
but I think the reality is when you talk about what we've seen, the punishment. When your career is over, unless we end up seeing you in a broadcast booth and you're still not going to make that kind of money that when you were playing, I think that you're right. You do have to think, if not about your families, you do have to think about yourself and what you're going to do once your career is over, if you don't squander the money when you're doing it. So I think there are, a lot of considerations. I want to go back to the teams in this rivalry. Alex Smith versus Kirk Cousins, who is now in with the Minnesota Vikings. Good decision, to replace Smith with Cousins.
Yet to be seen. This is what I will say. When you're a head coach, Jay Gruden is in a pivotal year of his contract in Washington. It's time to make something happen or maybe catch a ride out of here. I think that to have your guy matters. Stats to stats, performance to performance, I don't know. Did Kirk turn the ball over his fair share while he was here? Absolutely. But did we see Kirk take more long shots down the field and look for guys as opposed to what we've seen from Alex? Yes. Both of them presented a set of tools that could be working. Now, what I will give Kirk his credit for is betting on himself and securing the bag that he got out of Minnesota. I think for Jay Gruden, having his guy in Alex Smith provides him with some sort of comfort in his mind, continuity. Perhaps you fit what I want to do and I don't have to try to put a square into a circular spot. For that sake, I'm not in the head coach's mind, perhaps. But in terms of big time plays, we haven't seen that from Alex Smith, but I don't know that we ever saw that from Alex Smith. Anyway, he was always in that conversation of game manager.
Yeah. So you asked if it was a good decision. The decision was really, at that point, they had already wet the bed with getting to that point. So now they try to make the best of a terrible situation. It should have never got to that point. They should have I think, locked him up when they had a chance instead of letting him play them for 2 years in a row and then walk. So they made the best of a bad situation. But mm-hmm. it's to me, it doesn't make any sense that he's in Minnesota now.
Interesting. Dak Prescott, as I mentioned before, when you know that first year and when he came out, he was magical. Is he too comfortable now? The Cowboys are 3-3. Is that his fault?
I mean, he's a little limited too. You know, truth be told, they probably should have went back to Tony.
Wow.
They probably should have went back to Tony.
You're talking about your team that you are loyal to?
Wow. Well,
again, you know, you got to be rational when you're trying to make these determinations. But Zach has had some issues. I think he's been exposed a little bit. He's trying to run a little bit more now, which is a strength of his. But
I mean, he also lost two of his.
He got nobody to throw to, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't have many people to throw to. So I don't know. Get the ball to Zeke and hope that defense can shut down that Washington offense, which isn't really scaring anybody.
This could be a low-scoring game. It could be.
Dallas dropped 40 last week.
Yeah, but
yeah.
That's an anomaly. That's not a thing. They had a great
game. It could be
a
thing. That could be beginning.
I don't think it's going to be a thing.
It could be.
I don't think it's going to be a thing. I would have to check the stats, but I think, at least I know through last week, the Redskins' defense have been pretty solid statistically.
Yeah. Yes. Been. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so apparently so has Dallas as well, which is why mm-hmm. it would not surprise me if we get a low scoring kind of drag out performance on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Well, we shall certainly see. Anybody going to the game?
I'll be there. I'll be there.
Oh. Only because I'm paid to be there. You know, I had to pay to be there.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
That's the only reason I'm going.
You don't want to see your team, Dad?
The living room is quite nice.
So
I get that. I get that.
You know what? Instant replay, feed
red
up,
zone,
80-inch screen, mm-hmm. high def. You can almost reach in
the comfort.
That's right. And pat
priceless.
Dak Prescott on his helmet. So what's the prediction? Washington over Dallas. Dallas over Washington. How many points?
Going into this week, I really felt like the Burgundy and Gold could get it done. I am terrified about the amount of injuries that have been racked up since Monday.
Get your excuse ready.
With that said,
I'm still going to take them. Do it. Home team, come on.
By how many points?
Like a field goal.
Lord. Wow.
Dallas 28-21.
There you go. I appreciate it. I am so excited. Darren Snyder, Monica McNutt, thank you both so much for spending some time with us. We have you two back again.
Absolutely. Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, October 19th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporter Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.